Support for WPR comes from Rutabaga Paddle Sports, offering kayaks, canoes, and outdoor equipment for anyone wanting to experience the natural beauty of Wisconsin water. 2620 Rimrock Road in Madison or rutabagashop.com.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Gene Purcell. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Today it's Food Friday, and we're gearing up for family holiday meals and talking about what we're calling orphan dishes. These are those menu items that every year somebody makes them because you have to make them.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's
then
tradition.
There they sit at the end of the day, hardly touched on the table.
Unloved and uneaten.
Forgotten,
which
abandoned.
Which is no way for a dish to go through life, you know?
Yeah, we've had our share of those at the holiday table. Someone, I'm not going to name any names here, but someone served a dish of tropical parsnips.
Really?
And someone, Amanda Magnus, commented that those words just don't belong together in a sentence. And I would have to agree. So we have some alternatives to those. I don't know if you've got one, Gene, that you're hoping for a little fixer-upper.
Well, I was thinking about this. In our family, there are factions, you know, so they're not pure orphan dishes. There's usually one or two people that like a dish, and then nobody else will touch it. Turnips are a good example of that in our family. There is a small but enthusiastic cult following for turnips, and then the rest of the family wants nothing to do with them. Anyway, lots to talk about, and help us to talk about these is Lori Skelton, one of our in-house foodies here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Lori.
Hey, good afternoon.
It's good to have you along. Tell us about orphan dishes and why this is such a topic worth talking about.
Well, what got me thinking about it was something that my father insisted on making for every Thanksgiving dinner up until about the year 2000. It was a raw cranberry relish. And yeah,
I've had those.
Okay.
In fact, I think we eat those every Thanksgiving.
You'll have a raw. Okay. What's in your raw cranberry relish?
Well, you got to have oranges.
Oranges. Do you put apples in?
No apples. Sugar.
Okay. You do use sugar. Okay. I sat down and talked with my sister, and we both determined that Dad didn't use oranges and not enough sugar.
Mm.
So I sat down to try and come up with a raw cranberry relish that was actually palatable. My father insisted on making this every year, said this was the only way to eat cranberries, and then he, of course, was the only person who would eat it. Now, what I found was interesting. My father always made this by forcing the cranberries and the apples and the walnuts through his cast iron sausage grinder. Now, I do not have the cast iron sausage grinder. I have a food processor. So I put in apples and cranberries and oranges, blitzed it, tasted it, and thought, this tastes pretty good. What did I do differently from my dad? And then it suddenly occurred to me, I was using a food processor, not an iron grinder. Did a little bit of research online. The high acidity in cranberries can react with the iron and give your food a kind of an off taste.
Interesting.
Sure it would. It makes sense, actually.
So what I have discovered in getting ready for today is that, yes, raw cranberry relish can be quite tasty. The problem, of course, with raw cranberries is that when they are ground or blitzed in the food processor, they are going to release some juice. So I guess for me, you still need to cook them a little to get some of that juice from getting all over the plate. You want to get a little bit of the acidity working with some sugar or some maple syrup or whatever your sweetener is, to kind of gel it up and make it a little bit firmer, especially when you go for the infamous day after Thanksgiving turkey sandwich, usually eaten, you know, standing in front of the refrigerator just picking things out. You want to be able to slap some cranberry sauce on your sandwich and not have it run all over the kitchen floor.
Yeah, yours was a little sturdier. I can see that. It wouldn't run out the sides.
Right.
Some body.
So on the one hand, I was able to redeem my father's honor by, yes, raw cranberries will work, but you do have to do something about that extra juice, whether you drain it or you end up cooking it. But that might be something to save cranberries on your table. Now, both of you mentioned parsnips, turnips,
mm-hmm.
You mentioned root vegetables. Now, of course, we're at the season when the root vegetables are in. We haven't had them all summer. So, of course, everybody is going to have their favorite dish that they want to bring to the table to celebrate the season. But a lot of times what happens with the vegetables that show up is that they probably are a little bit past when they should have been picked. If you waited until the very last minute to dig them out of the ground, if your turnips are a little bit woody, if your parsnips are large, their inner cores are going to be woody and they're going to taste bitter. So the first thing you need to worry about with root vegetables is don't bring them when they're the size of a baseball bat.
So maybe pick the smaller ones.
Yep.
They maybe weather it a little better.
And if you do have bigger root vegetables, go ahead and chop them up. Look for any cores, especially in the middle of the vegetable, that might be a little bit tougher. Go ahead and cut those out. And then you can start working. What I brought in for everybody to try today were two ways of braising or glazing parsnips. One, I stole an idea from Odessa Piper from L'Etoile, who makes a marvelous cider syrup just by boiling down cider till it's lovely and thick. And so I boiled parsnips in cider, and the cider, you know, got all gooey and sweet and
Those were good.
Syrupy and delicious. And the other one I tried is a form of something that's called agrodolce, literally sweet and sour. You sprinkle a little sugar in your hot pan and let it caramelize. Throw in some butter, throw in your parsnips, then throw in some balsamic vinegar and let it talk to itself for 20 minutes. And there might be something that you don't often find on your Thanksgiving table, is something with a little more umami. Mm. So it does make a really nice counterpart to the gravy and the butter-laden mashed potatoes and everything else that's going to be on a Thanksgiving plate.
Now, Rob couldn't be with us today. He's got the day off, but he knew we were doing this topic, and he wanted to make sure that everybody knows he needs help with yams. Now, yams are a staple of the holiday table. What advice do you have for Rob?
First of all, you do need to make the distinction that yams and sweet potatoes are different things.
That's a constant source. Actually, that is a debate we've had at our family table.
Okay, to cut to the chase.
Let's cut to the chase.
Yams are a starchier tuber that are absolutely wonderful in certain Asian and African dishes, but in America, what you want to be working with is a sweet potato. And Rob told me his favorite way of playing with sweet potatoes is just to roast them. But apparently that's not something that gets a great deal of enthusiasm, you know, just roasted with butter or brown sugar. So what I did was I cut one sweet potato up in wedges as though you were going to do oven fries, French fries.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this great suggestion for a spice blend: fennel seed, coriander seed, red pepper flakes, and just a little bit of oregano. Now, that's not normally an herb that comes up on the Thanksgiving table.
It's an interesting mix.
But mm-hmm. all of those spices, especially if you're using a red pepper like Aleppo that has a citrus kick to it, all of those spices are going to have some hint of orange either in their smell or in their taste. So you've got the orange thing going. Orange plays beautifully with sweet potatoes. You got that spice rub for your wedge of sweet potatoes. You toss it with a little bit of light vegetable oil, bake them in the oven for 20 minutes, and they're beautiful. And the other thing I found, oddly enough, I had some of that raw cranberry mix left over. I mixed that with another just simply baked sweet potato, and I tried it without sugar, thinking, well, I may have to add some maple syrup or brown sugar. I thought it was absolutely perfect. No sugar added. So go ahead and add cranberries, apples, oranges to your roasted sweet potatoes, and you've got a high fiber, much lower calorie side dish, which just might be a way to get your kids to the table.
And it had a little crunch to it. I liked that part about that combination. And also the sweet potato, I'm going to call them fries, they were really good. And I'm surprised that they didn't have cumin. I thought they were going to be cuminy.
And of course, when you're working with whole spices, you can sit and make up your own blends. This was a suggestion that I found in Gourmet magazine, and I was a little hesitant at first, tried a few things on my own, and I ended up coming back to their suggestions. I thought it was a marvelous blend.
Yeah, that was a nice one. Well, I want to ask you about another one of these veggies that some people love and some people roll their eyes at, Brussels sprouts. Now,
I like Brussels sprouts.
I'm a recent convert to the Brussels sprout. In fact, I've always been kind of so-so about them. Lori brought in hers today, and I was telling the producers, oh, they're so good, and then it turned out I'd eaten them all. So, yes.
Well,
tell us about how to save Brussels sprouts.
Well, for me, what saves a Brussels sprout is playing up the crunch. Rather than boiling the dickens out of it, you want to sear it in a hot pan just on one side. Don't burn them, just get them brown, and then you can toss them with either bacon fat or what I did for you, truffle oil.
It was so perfect. Lori, thank you so much for joining us and for making those Brussels sprouts. That was Lori Skelton, one of WPR's in-house foodies.